Good morning, all. As you can see, I am smiling a lot. That's because I'm nervous. when Tom asked for anyone who is willing to talk about grace, I thought I was only pointing the ceiling to my daughter, Frankie. Little did I know, I volunteered to it. I thought it was just to be a simple testimony of God's grace in my everyday life. But when I saw and heard Chan talk last Sunday, I didn't smile. I laughed at myself and asked, what did I put myself into? Thinking I bit more than I can chew. I have no expertise in theology. My knowledge is nothing compared to most of you. But then I thought, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And the talk is about grace. In my heart, I know God will extend that grace to me to do this challenge. As recipients of grace, you are privileged to serve as agents of grace. Believers receive grace, Acts 11:23, are encouraged to continue in grace, Acts 13:43, and are called to testify to the grace of God, Acts 20:24. So here I am with God's grace. The word grace is derived from the Greek word charis, meaning favor, goodwill, and loving kindness, especially as granted by a superior, which is God, to an inferior, us humans. There was once a story where there was a convention on comparative religions. Experts from around the world gathered and debated what, if any, belief was unique to Christian faith. So they started eliminating possibilities. Incarnation? No. Other religions have different versions of God's appearing in human form. Resurrection? Nope. Again, other religions had accounts of return from death. The discussion went on and on until C.S. Lewis appeared in the room and asked, "What's the uproar all about?" Came the reply from his colleagues discussing Christianity's unique contribution among world religion. Lewis replied, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." After some discussions, the conference had to agree. The notion of God's loving, coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to be against every instinct of humanity. Grace is the most significant notion in the Bible, Christianity, and in the world. Grace is the love of God shown to unlovely, the compassion of God given to the callous, the peace God extends to the anxious, the kindness God grants to the cruel, the invitation to the unrighteous, and the threat to the self-righteous. Grace is the undeserving favor of God. Let me repeat that. Grace is the undeserving favor of God. It would be a contradiction when you say, you deserve grace. It's like my Frankie asking me, "Mama, can I go with you when you buy me a surprise birthday gift?" It's the same idea of buying your own surprise gift that invalidates the notion of grace. As I quote Andy Stanley, you can ask for it, you can plead for it, but the minute you think you deserve it, it is no longer grace, it is something you have earned. But grace cannot be earned. To earn something is to find an equivalent. There is no equivalent when grace is concerned. Grace is birthed from hopeless inequity. Grace is the offer of exactly what we do not deserve. This cannot be recognized or received until we are aware of precisely how undeserving we really are. It is the knowledge of what we do not deserve that allows us to receive grace for what it is, unmerited, unearned, undeserved. For that reason, Grace can only be experienced by those who acknowledge they are undeserving. So how do we receive God's grace in our life? By putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. As written in John chapter 1, verse 17, God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. According to Rick Warren, the grace God has given us is nothing less than himself. It is not a third thing or substance mediating between God and sinners. It is completely encased in a person, Jesus. Grace doesn't come from religion or ritual, not even from following rules. You get it through Jesus. One thing is beyond doubt. Grace is not cheap. In fact, it is the most costly and precious commodity there is. It cost Jesus his life. Jesus died on the cross to pay for it. However, grace is not a New Testament idea. Grace didn't start with Jesus, but definitely personified by him. John tells in chapter 1, verse 14, that he was full of grace and truth. Not the balance between, but the embodiment of. John speaks of fullness of his grace in chapter 1, verse 16. The idea that being in Jesus, we get as clear, as close, as look as we will ever get of what grace looks like in an otherwise graceless world. Sometimes our misconceptions of grace let us plod along life, things, and sins. But grace doesn't trivialize sin to make it acceptable. Grace doesn't have to. In fact, grace recognizes the full consequence of sin and yet does not rebuke. Grace is such a wonderful news, such a glorious offer to those who are sinners, because they know they deserve nothing other than God's wrath. Grace is only repulsive to the self-righteous. Grace is also the basis for humility. God declares that all men are equal on their lost condition. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In the Bible, the story of grace includes an extensive scope of personalities: the wealthy, the impoverished, the old, the young, the powerful, and the powerless. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah was drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a warrior, like me. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient, again. Elijah was moody. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short, definitely me. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. For all these people, it is God's grace that changed the course of their lives into something good. In many ways, these stories are our stories. As the same characters who fill the pages of the scriptures, we too need grace. But not just any grace, the grace of God. As Justin Holcomb said, a shorthand for what mercy is, Grace is mercy, not merit. Grace is the opposite of karma, which is all about getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve and not getting what you do deserve. While everyone desperately needs it, grace is not about us. Grace is fundamentally a word about God. This uncoerced, initiative, and pervasive, extravagant demonstration of care and favor. 10 years ago, Ed and I had a very tough year. They say good things come in threes. I tell you, there were definitely three, but not particularly good. Our marriage faced a difficult situation. Ed was diagnosed with cancer. And and the sudden passing of my close family back home, which meant I had to leave my husband undergo a surgery that might affect the possibility of us not being able to have kids. In my heart, I know that we wouldn't have surpassed those trials without God's love and grace. Though our circumstances did not change, we knew we were not alone or suffering. It was grace indeed to know God sees us. He sees the sorrow, betrayal, successes, and joys. He does not look away from us, but sees us deeply into our heart, also seeing the covering and reflection of his Son, Jesus. Those were the very challenging times of my life, of Ed's. But I would always say I wouldn't have surpassed it without God's grace. And until now, every time I look at our children, when I got pregnant the following year after Ed was diagnosed, it was total example of God's grace. I conceived naturally, and every time I look at our kids, I am always reminded of that grace. Well, not at 9 o'clock at night when you're trying to get them to bed 100 times, but yes, I am still thankful every day. If God has a quota for grace, oh my God, I'd probably be, I don't know where would I be, because every day I need grace in my life. God is so amazing and so gracious that he had brought me this far to where I thought I wouldn't have been. There's no sweeter word. There's no word sweeter to the sinner's ears than the word grace. Have you ever thought you were too sinful for God to save? Then grace is the good news that God has for you. Your salvation is not based upon how good you are, and your salvation is not prohibited by how sinful you have been. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and the Apostle Paul tells us he wins the first prize for being the chief of sinners. That's according to 1 Timothy chapter 1:15. You will have to stand in line behind Paul and me if you wish to think of yourself as too sinful. You are never too sinful to be saved, only too good, too self-righteous, too self-sufficient. Nowhere is grace more eloquent, more glorious, more precious than when it stands in contrast to sin, our sin. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Thank you. And by the way, I'm still smiling a lot.
Thank you, Michelle, for that, for the honesty and truth in that. I wonder whether we could all stand. I'd love to pray. So perhaps if you'll close our eyes. Thank you for that talk, that reminder that grace is undeserved favour. And for those of us who feel that we're sort of constantly getting it wrong, failing, this is for us. If you feel like you would like to receive that undeserved favour this morning, grace in your life for whatever situation you're facing, perhaps if you just put your hands open in front of you and I'll pray. Father, thank you that your grace is extravagant, beyond understanding. Thank you that it's for those of us who don't deserve it, who get things wrong all the time. And just thank you for that, that it's undeserved favour and it's extravagant. And I just pray for each and every single person here who knows that they need your grace to fill them with your spirit, your grace, your presence, your love this morning. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got anything in particular that you would love to pray about, we are a church that believes in prayer, please approach kind of one of us afterwards. I'm on the leadership team, you can approach me. Rob is a prayer warrior, you can approach him. Michelle would love to pray for you, I'm sure. John and Jill are here. Roger, Mary and David Jarrett, or anybody, the person next to you, if you've got a particular situation that you know that you need God's grace for, please ask. It's like having a sort of bunch of sweets there in front of you and not taking one. It's there for the taking, so please do that. We're going to have our final song, Amazing Grace, and afterwards there is tea and coffee. I've set the tables outside in the sunshine, so you can sit outside if you want, and Monica's baking as well.